and reconciling us both to God by His cross. Today, our relationship with God is not marked by the way we keep those commandments and ordinances. Today, our relationship with God is marked by our relationship with Jesus Christ. In other words, we Christians have a freedom under the law that the ancient Jews did not. And the primary example of that freedom is found in Jesus Christ Himself. And I will wager that some of you will be absolutely surprised at the freedom that Jesus exercised with regard to the law. Let me give you just three illustrations. First, Jesus saw through the law to the spirit and reason behind the law. Let me say that again. Jesus saw through the law to the spirit and reason behind the law. In Mark's Gospel, the second chapter, Jesus and His disciples are walking on the Sabbath, and they're passing through a field of grain, and they begin to pop the heads off the grain, and given the context, I suppose they were eating them. And certain of the Pharisees saw it, and they came to Jesus, and they said, "Why are your disciples doing what it is not lawful for them to do?" I mean, after all, they were harvesting on the Sabbath. And Jesus said to them, "Have you never read how David, when he was in need, and when he was hungry, and those who were with him, went into the temple, and he ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for anyone but the priest to eat, and he gave it to those who were with him? Don't you know that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath? So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Now, Jesus was referring to the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. He says that man was not made to keep the fourth commandment, but rather, the fourth commandment was made to keep man. And that's true of all the commandments. Man was not made to keep the commandments. The commandments were made to keep us and to protect us from ourselves and from one another. That gives rise to the very best definition of sin that I've ever heard. Sin is anything we do or fail to do by which we hurt ourselves or another. Now, second, Jesus set some of the laws of Moses completely aside. Take the laws of clean and unclean foods. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus calls the people to him and he says, "Listen, nothing by going inside a man can defile him, because it goes in through the mouth, it bypasses the heart, it goes into the stomach, and so passes on." He said, "It's what comes out of a man that defiles him, for it is from the heart that evil thoughts arise, including fornication, theft, murder, adultery, slander, pride, and foolishness." He said, "It is these things that defile a man, and not what he eats." And the text declares, "Thus Jesus declared all foods clean." Now, how many of you are going to have a barbecue sandwich this afternoon? Well, when you pray, "Come, Lord Jesus," you better thank Jesus twice that you can eat that barbecue sandwich. How many of you are planning a trip to the beach this summer, have already been? Can I see your hands? Well, if you go down there and you order a big platter of fried shrimp, or if you take a Benadryl like I have to do, and order a po' boy sandwich consisting of fried oysters and tomato and lettuce and a hamburger bun just lathered with French's mayo, if you do that, you better thank Jesus, because Jesus declared all foods clean. Jesus also refused to carry out one of the laws of Moses that required a person to be stoned to death. I've already alluded to it. In John 8, the Pharisees come to Jesus, and they're bringing with them a woman who has been taken in the very act of adultery. And they say to him, "Listen, Moses said we are to stone such as her. What do you say? What do you say? And you know that story, how Jesus knelt down and started to write in the dirt. And as he wrote, he said, "Let him who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And those men melted away into the crowd. And then Jesus asked the woman a question. He said, "Where are your accusers?" She said, "Lord, there are none." He said, "Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more." Now, I want you to know that Jesus did not reject the moral law. He reserved judgment for God, but he did not reject the moral law. In point of fact, Jesus often raised the law to a higher power. In Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that in the eyes of God, to lust after a woman is the same as to commit adultery with her. He says that when we are to love our enemies, not hate them, as some had deduced from the law. And boy, that's a discussion. He says that Moses was absolutely wrong in his casual approach to divorce. In fact, he says from the beginning Moses was wrong. And most scholars agree that in St. Matthew is holding Jesus up as a new lawgiver who is far superior to Moses himself. Think about chapter 17, the Transfiguration, how Jesus has taken his disciples with him up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he is transfigured before them, and his garments become glistening white as no fuller on earth can make them. And there appeared with him Moses and Elijah. And then they disappeared, and the disciples didn't know what to say. But one of them said, "Oh, Lord, how good it is that we were here. Let us build three booths, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And about that time, a voice comes from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Third, Jesus changed other laws laid down by Moses by the very fact of his life, death, and resurrection. Take, for instance, the laws of sacrifice. Moses made provisions for many different types of offerings, chief of which was the sin offering by which the priest made atonement for the sins of the people. Let me tell you something. Without the law of Moses, without those offerings, we would scarcely be able to understand what Jesus did for us on the cross. And yet, we are no longer a part of that sacrificial system. The author of Hebrews says this. He writes that every priest stands daily at his serving, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices that can never take away sin. But, he continues, when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time all those who are sanctified. That is, you and me and all who have been set apart by our faith in him. Now, let me sum up. Does all this mean that our faith is different from the faith of Israel? Well, yes and no and yes. Yes, it's different in that we are no longer bound by those laws of commandments and ordinances. We're free to eat our barbecue. Aren't you glad for that, Joey? I was expecting an amen from you. We're free to eat shrimp when we're at the beach. We can wear blended clothing. We're not bound by those laws of commandments and ordinances. And yet, yes, we are like the Jews in that in touching the moral law, the old law was very sound. Moses was God's man for his time, and God has never left himself without witness. One of the best illustrations of that comes from the time just before Jesus of Shammai and Hillel, two great rabbis. The story is told about a Gentile who went to Shammai and said, let me do this right. I got to stand on one leg. He said, Rabbi, can you teach me the whole Torah, the whole law of Moses, the whole law of God while I stand on one leg? If so, I will become a disciple, a Jew, a proselyte. And Shammai got so mad at him, he had a stick in his hands and he beat him with the stick until he ran off. The same man went to Rabbi Hillel and he made the same request with the same promise. And Rabbi Hillel said this. He said, what you hate, do not do to another. That's the whole law of Moses, and everything else is just commentary. Go and learn. You know, Jesus said the same thing, except he put a positive spin on it. He said, whatsoever you would have men do to you, do so to them. You know what that is? It's the golden rule. I've heard over and over again that the golden rule is not in the Bible. Well, it is. It's there in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. It's there in Luke's gospel, the 6th chapter, verse 31. And it's the golden rule that binds people of goodwill together, because we can at least agree on those moral principles. Now, finally, we are different. Yes, we're very different from the Jews. I think John summed it up best when he said, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came. You notice the difference? The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 10:4 that Jesus is the telos. That's a Greek word. It means the goal, the end of the law. In Galatians, the 3rd chapter, verse 24, he says, listen, the law is just a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Him. Moses was the lawgiver. He was a great man. But think about this. If we break the law in one point, we're guilty of all. The law can condemn us, but the law cannot restore us. For that, we have to turn to Jesus Christ, because it is in Christ that God has revealed to us His grace and His truth. The grace of forgiveness, the truth that we can become a new person in Jesus Christ. Wow. I said it. Wow. That's powerful. St. Paul talked about two different dispensations, the dispensation of the law and the dispensation of grace. And he said, listen, at the end of the old dispensation, while Moses put a veil over his face, that the Israelites might not see the fading splendor. And he said, to this day, when they read the law of Moses, that veil remains in place. They can't see Jesus in the law. He said, it's only when we turn to Christ that the veil is removed and we begin to see the law for what God intended it to be all along, the schoolmaster that would lead us to Christ. And he said, we, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into His likeness, going from one degree of glory into another. Please pray with me. Gracious God, we appreciate the law, but we're so grateful that we live in the dispensation of Jesus Christ. We're so grateful that He loved us and gave Himself for us, that He redeemed us from the empty works of the law, by whom St. Paul says no one will be justified, in order that we might be justified by our faith in Him. On this day, we pray for any among us this morning who might be uncertain, who might feel they're at outs with You, because in some way, in some fashion, they have broken Your law. May they hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that He does indeed love us and restore us, that He came to give us new life. And not just life in this age, but life in the age to come. We're thankful for Moses, but how much more thankful are we for your Son, Jesus Christ, with whom you are well pleased. We make our prayers, we've made our meeting in Christ's strong name, and for His sake, Amen.